Praise the Lord. It's wonderful to see the excitement of children heading to their program. And hopefully we're as excited about our program. I love to see the little ones take off running across the front. And it's always the little ones that make the life of the church. And what we used to say in our church in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, that some of the older ones, it's good to have you here, but it's these ones that we want to really invest life into, because they are the future and life of the church. Good to be here this morning, and good to have a new master in the house this morning. And good to have this chance to share together in a very important Sunday. All are important, but as we prepare to see the two churches grafted together into one under the hand of God. And I know there's been a lot of prayer on both sides, and really it's no longer both sides, it's just one side now. And that will be the future. Not two camps kind of working out, but one camp, one people, one group, blessing, strengthening, encouraging each other. And so it's a privilege to be here this Sunday. And Leonard's not here, so if I go long, at least I have a week before he starts bugging me about it. No, I won't this time. The theme has already been shared, unity, and I feel like I'm really loud, am I? Go up here and get louder? Anyway, this is good. The theme, unity, it's been prayed about and prophesied about, and many people from both sides that are now one side have been praying for unity, the wisdom of God to have spiritual unity. And that's the theme of what I want to share this morning. It's also a theme of my life, like it's something I've learned through the years of ministry. When we were in Canada pastoring, then Zambia, and then Ethiopia, and continuing to today, the power of unity. And as I was coming this morning, I realized I could put three P's together, PPP, the power of unity, the process of coming into unity and growing in unity, and then the preservation of unity. And we'll look at those three things. Just kind of came to me in the last second, so it's not like brilliant planning, but the theme of unity has been something that I've recognized the power of all through our years. And I've shared it before, I'm sure, but when I think of our work in Ethiopia and our team there, and we're in touch today by email and internet and all this stuff, and just the power of unity of the team is what allows God's power to flow out and really accomplish the miraculous stuff that God does. And without that unity, then we don't have that. That's just the reality of it. And so I want to share about that this morning. And as we focus on this particular concept of unity, it's important in any church, anytime, all the time. But as we look at the two congregations merging, then I see it as even more. It's much more, as you'll see as we go through the morning, it's much more than just trying to get along. Like, we do try to get along, good, that's nice. But it takes something much deeper than that to build spiritual unity. And we're not just talking about structural unity, but the heart of spiritual unity and what that really means and how we develop it. And what I've come to understand is if we can achieve this, as Paul puts it in Ephesians chapter 4, we'll be looking at some of that this morning. As Paul puts it, it's the unity of the Spirit, which is the bond of peace. And that's a powerful statement. Like, you could spend a long time just understanding that itself. The unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And if we can achieve, and it's something we have to work at, it's not just automatic. We have to be diligent and eager, as Paul puts it, towards that. But if we can achieve that, unity of the Spirit, that becomes the bond that brings peace. It's a bond that binds us together. And it is sweet, it is enjoyable. And as I think again of our team in Ethiopia, and I'll reference it from time to time because that's the world I live in, but the sweetness of that unity, we get together, now we can do it online, we can do it live, anywhere we are. come together and feel the presence of God and the wisdom of God to deal with the situation, to set a direction, to make a decision in seconds and in fun and in pleasant environment. It's always fun to come together as our leadership team has been for 30 years, and that's amazing to me. It's enjoyable, it's sweet, and so we can enjoy unity. When there's disunity or discord, not only God doesn't like it, in fact, he said he hates it, not only his presence leaves us, but it's no fun. It's not enjoyable. And so what we want is the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And one of the most powerful things in church life or in the church is unity. And I'm going to explain that a little bit, but it's a powerful thing. And one of the most difficult things in the church is unity. So it's the most powerful thing and it's the most difficult thing because the enemy knows how powerful it is. And again, I could share a lot, but like we look across the country of Ethiopia and all the things that are happening that we've been involved in and developing are based on that unity of the team. And then the power of God is released through that and his power makes stuff happen. We can make a few things happen or think we are, but it's when his power is among us, when his power is released through us, the real power of the living God, then Canada can be changed. Like, you know, I was thinking about it the other day, our politics and now elections and whatever, and I could say a lot. Probably shouldn't. I don't care what the little political winds are blowing. If we, the church, the real church, the people of God, in unity of spirit, in the bond of peace, pray to God, then God's hand will do what God's hand needs to do for this country and change it in the direction of his plans and bring open doors and bring people to faith and start something or grow something across the nation. The power of God is released in unity, in spiritual unity. And that's a reality. That's something we need to get a hold of. And so Paul puts it like this, be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Be eager. And that means diligent. Work hard at it. And there's a spiritual process, and we're not going to take time to go long in that, but diligent in myself to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Work at it hard. Judge your heart, guard your heart, examine your heart, because it's from the heart that issues arise that divide things. James puts it very clearly, you know, what causes division among you or fights among you? Is it not jealousy and selfish ambition, those old things that can rise up in us? So he says, be eager or diligent, or it's an urgent thing to maintain this unity. So Ephesians 4:1, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And the word eager is serious, and it means it's of highest importance. And like I said, the most powerful thing in the church is unity. The most difficult thing is unity. So it takes that eager effort and put it as a high up thing. Don't let, and this is the practical side of it, don't let the enemy use you to be the one to bring discord. And I love what the Bible says in Proverbs. There's seven things God hates. One of them is sowing discord among the brothers because it destroys unity of the Spirit. And that reduces our efforts to just human efforts and going through the motions and not the power of God released through each of our lives as we walk with him. And it's that we want to maintain. And he goes on to say there is, and this is, you know, we all know this, but I want to say it under God's grace and his anointing. I pray over it, his word speaking into our hearts and lives. He says in verse 4, there's one body, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is over all and through all and in all. And then he says, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. So there's one, 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 and then each of us, many of us, focus towards one. And then when Paul's talking about the grace gifts in the Corinthians chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says there are variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. Variety of service, but the same Lord. Varieties of activities, but the same God. And that God is expressed through everyone. So variety, variety, variety. I look across this beautiful congregation, and there's variety. Many gifts, many styles, many ways of serving Christ, different gifts that God's put in each part of the body. But it goes from variety to the same. Variety of these, but the same Lord. Variety, but the same Spirit. Variety, but the same God. So it always moves us into one. One body, one Spirit. And that's something we need to be eager to build and to maintain. And I want to focus on that as we go through the morning. How do we build it? How do we develop it? Let me say this. When we know the power and fruit of spiritual unity, if you taste that, or if we get a feel for it and understand what that is and how God's presence is there, the joy of the Lord is there, but the power of God is released through all of us as we go out into the world that God leads us into the places that he's put each one of us through the week. We take that power of God's grace with us to impact and to make a difference and to accomplish things. Once we sense that power and joy of unity, you'll never want anything else. I've come to the place where if it isn't, like in leadership at least, if we're not in unity, I don't want to be there. It's just a fight. It's just an argument. It's just who gets their way, who has more people standing with them against the other one, or it's just unhappy, unhealthy. I don't want to be there. I don't want to be part of that. I've seen that happen. I've been in situations where that's happening. It's no use. It's negative. It's unhappy. So once we understand the fruit of spiritual unity, we'll know why the enemy opposes it so much. Because literally, and I'm saying this because it's Bible, and I believe it because it's Bible, but I believe it because we've seen it work over many, many years and literally seen the power of God released through it to change a nation. And so in this place, us, this community of believers, standing in unity can change the whole face of the nation of Canada. I like where, you know, back in the Old Testament, Abraham, I guess it was, said, you know, if there's 50 people, if there's 40, if there's 10, will you spare? And he said, yes. So we're more than that here. And if we understand and if we let God build us, the whole body of Christ, into that unity, we have the power to change the nation of Canada. And that's my prayer. That's my desire and what I believe God will do. But it also, as we understand it, it makes it clear why the enemy fights it. And he fights it through dirty fighting tactics. And don't let him use you, and I'll work at not letting him use me. And we'll all pray that he doesn't use Leonard. No. If you're watching. So the enemy's goal is to keep us from unity. God's purpose is to build us into unity. That's his purpose. And you think, well, if God's purpose is to do that, he's all-powerful, he can do it. And I always think back to a picture I saw many years ago, like when the wind and the waves were blowing and Jesus is in the ship, he said, peace be still. Whew. The waves were still. And in all kinds of situations, where he spoke like on he rode the donkey into town, the colt of a donkey that had never been ridden. I grew up on the farm. If you get on a colt that's never been ridden, it's not walking quietly into town. But that little donkey did exactly what its master said, Jesus, because Jesus created the wind and the waves, and when he spoke, when he talked to the donkey listened. But when he talks to you and me, we have the power to say, "Ah, no, I'm busy." He's given us that power of free will, so the enemy can come in and sneak in and use that. And God's purpose, God's working to build this unity into the body of Christ so that we can enjoy his presence but also be empowered to accomplish his purpose. And so he says, be diligent in that. And the slide up there, we have an enemy. And the church is not an audience to be entertained. It's an army to be empowered. And God wants to empower us, the army, to do the work of God. Not just entertain us, not just make us feel good, not just meet our needs. I love God meets our needs, hallelujah. But that's not the heart and the center of it. It's to empower us to accomplish his purpose, to do what he's called his church to do and to be what he's called us to be. God has given us, and I want to emphasize this now, and I hope it's clear by the sweetness of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. God has given us a blueprint, the perfect blueprint, to bring the church to unity and keep it in unity and enjoy the fruit of unity. And I want to outline that. If you remember when God was telling Moses to build the tabernacle, he said, be sure you build it exactly according to the pattern given to you on the mountain. Not just build a nice building. Build it exactly like the pattern you saw. And in Ephesians chapter 4, God gives us this perfect pattern for the church. If we get it right, if we understand it and embrace it and are diligent to it, eager for it, then spiritual unity is the result, and out of that flows the grace and power of God through us. And let's have a look at that. Because as we get that unity right, and you'll see it, I hope, the power of heaven is released on earth through us. The power of heaven. When we pray prayers like, thy will be done, that is beautiful. Is that opened? Yep. My voice is a little scratchy. When we pray that prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we're talking about bringing God's power, God's purpose, God's presence from heaven into what we're doing on earth. And unity will bring that to pass, so that the authority of heaven is released on earth. And that maybe sounds like some kind of, never mind what it sounds like, we'll tell you what it is. If we don't have that power working through us, the power of heaven through us on earth, then we're just people doing stuff. And whatever that can accomplish, fine. You know, a good club out there can do some nice stuff, but when the power of God is working through us, which is dependent upon unity of the Spirit, then things really happen. So I want to take a moment to go to Matthew chapter 8, one of my favorite verses, and I hear it being used many, many times, probably out of context, but it's such a beautiful verse, Matthew 18, 19. He said, again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am among them. Now, the real power of that is not just a few people who are believers in Jesus come together so Jesus is present. He may be or he may not be, depending on your attitude, but that's not what this is talking about. It's talking about spiritual leadership of the church, doing spiritual work of the church for the purpose of God and God's power with them to do it, if we are in spiritual unity. So when we come together or agree, it's talking in the context of leadership or church ministry focus, united in Christ, united together, but mostly our alignment with Christ, and that brings us into alignment with each other. And so when he says here, in my name, that's a very significant thing. It's not just, and again, I don't want to beat us up as the church, but we use his name like as if it's salt and pepper or something, like in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I want a new house in Jesus' name. I want a new car in Jesus' name. That's not using Jesus' name well. That's using your greed, your possessiveness or whatever, and trying to get his name to make it happen. But what when he's talking about my name, in my name, it's like an ambassador from Canada going to another country. They can't just go there and say, I can say anything in the name of Canadian power. They have to represent the heart and passion of Canada to that nation. And when we say in Jesus' name, or when he says, if you come together in my name, he's talking about alignment with his purpose, under his authority, in complete and perfect alignment with his will, then it will happen on earth. In my name, two or three perfectly aligned with Christ, and in my name means it has his authority. We are representing him accurately and aligned with his will. Two or three come into that alignment with Christ, are my heart, my life in alignment. And then Jesus said, I'm there. And I have news for you that you don't need me to tell you, but when he is there, everything changes. Everything is possible. Things work. And again, I'm not just talking about meeting my needs. One of the things that I get a little upset with in the Canadian church, and people tell me, quit beating up the Canadian church or they're not going to like you anymore. And I said, that's okay, they already don't like me. But we're so concentrated on our needs, as if God meeting our needs is the center of all of our life. That's a given. God will do that. He does that. But when his presence is among us, it's to empower us to do his work, to change our city, to bring revival to Canada. It's to accomplish his purpose on earth, because his power comes into that and is released through us to do it. That's what I want to see. That's what we need to see. And when we come together in his name, it's not just a frivolous kind of statement of his in his name. And you know the story, and I won't bother to go there, but where Jesus said, those people came to him and said, Lord, Lord, did we not do all these things in your name? And he said, no, you did not do them in my name. You were not in communion with me. I don't know you. You were just doing stuff and then attaching my name to it. But in my name means I'm in alignment with him. I'm under his authority. And I'm obedient to him. And that brings us into harmony with each other. And that's what spiritual unity is. It's in harmony with Christ, in line with Christ, and then that brings us into alignment with each other. Not just trying to get along. Like we could say, you know, we want to have a, you know, we want to paint the walls a different color. What color would you like? And we have 200 people, you have 200 different colors. And so, okay, let's work towards getting it figured out. Okay, we'll go with blue. That's not unity, and that's just simple stuff that we do as people. Spiritual unity is coming into alignment with Christ, my life in alignment with Christ, and then my life in alignment with you, if your life is in alignment with Christ. That is spiritual unity, and then Jesus said, I'm there, and then everything works. God's power flows, things happen. Yes, meeting needs, yes, winning new souls, changing our community, whatever God's will and purpose for our lives and for our church is, then happens. And so in the context that I've just shared, where he said, if two or three come together, the verse that precedes it is this, truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And what it means is if we are coming together in his name in spiritual health, spiritual unity, the power of heaven is with us on earth. The power of heaven is released through us in real, genuine ways. So that it's not us to decide, okay, I'm going to bind this or bind that. And I've seen many immature services in Canada and around the world. And somebody shouting, I bind and I bind and I bind, and the devil sits and laughs at them. I've heard them say, I bind the spirit of alcohol over Edmonton. You say, well, good luck. Unfortunately, it's not bound. It's still working in every bar across the city. It's not us shouting, I bind, but it's us in alignment with Christ, doing the work of God under the authority of God, and that will open doors that nobody can close, that will close doors that nobody can open, that makes things happen, God's power from heaven at work with us on earth. He's present, and we are doing it under his authority in his name. And I remember having a guy in Ethiopia working for me who was out doing stuff that I was not giving authority behind and claiming my authority to it. And I know what that feels like when I realized what was going on and we had to deal with it. And that's us a lot of times out shouting stuff that Jesus has nothing to do with. We want to be in line with him in perfect alignment with Christ under his lordship in his name. And then it carries heaven's authority. And what we open or allow is allowed. What we close is closed because it's him. And it's his will and his purpose and his power at work. And I love the verse, and you know what doors that he opens, nobody can close. I could share so many, many examples, practical, real life examples, when just that power to open doors that nothing else could open but that power of Jesus' name. And it's through the unity of the church that that's released. Not just in our talk or in our work individually. And now that empowers the church to take the gospel to the world. That empowers us to take the gospel to our city and reach our city and change our city. Not just here in the church have a great time. We do. But empowered by the Spirit and by spiritual unity, God's power coming into us. Each one of us then goes out and accomplishes what God has called us to do individually and together. If we don't have that unity, then we don't have that authority. I have absolute confidence because it's the Word of God. I have absolute confidence because I have watched for 50 years this principle at work. It's been the core principle of our life, building and developing spiritual unity and maintaining it and following it because it's so beautiful. And more than, let me just say this on the way by, more than any education you can get to help you do your ministry better, or books you can read, or anything else, spiritual health, spiritual unity is what will empower us to do spiritual work. And then any other stuff we get to help, fine, it can be helpful. Ephesians 4, and I'm going to wrap up shortly with this. Ephesians 4 lays out the pattern of heaven for the church on earth. And it's a heavy subject, not heavy, but broad. But I'll condense it just to give the basic principle of it. Unit. This is to build unity into the church. Real, deep, spiritual unity. Not just let's try to get along, as I said, but really coming together as the body of Christ in spiritual health and power. And he lays it out there. Jesus said that when he ascended, he gave 5 gifts to the church. 5 leadership gifts. And then he laid out very clearly what those leadership gifts are supposed to do together. Not each one in different contexts and not in competition with each other, but each one together as a team of leaders, those 5 gifts to build the body of Christ up. And he said, each of those gifts present the Word of God or the presence and power and prayer and the Word of God to the body of Christ from 5 different angles. And I don't want to belabor this point, but it's worth talking about if we had time another time. But those five gifts each bring something to the body and each bring a different perspective, kind of like the four Gospels. You have beautiful truth. You say, well, why do we need four? Because each brings a different angle of the beauty of Christ. And the five gifts each bring a different element of spiritual life and health to the church. We don't need five evangelists. We don't need five teachers. We don't need five prophets, I mean, gifting-wise. We need five representing all of them, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, gift, together, working as a team together. The problem we see so often is they're not together and they're competing with each other in different contexts of the world. But in the local church, those gifts come together. And each one brings something beautiful to the body of Christ and helps us develop spiritual health and unity. And I could lay them out, but the apostle keeps our vision wider than just ourselves, looking at the world and the ends of the world. And the prophet wants to hear, what is God saying? And are we in line with God's purpose? And the evangelist, are you reaching the community? Are we bringing people to Christ? Are we winning souls? And the pastor, are you healthy? Are you doing well? The apostle doesn't ask you, are you doing well? He doesn't care. The pastor does. And the apostle tries to pretend he does. But the apostle is more like Paul with Barnabas and Mark. No, that kid is not coming with us. He quit last time. And Barnabas is more like the pastor. No, he's a good boy. I want to work with him. We need them both. And then the teacher, we want to make sure the word of God is preached accurately. The evangelist can twist it up to get a soul saved. The teacher says, no, that's the wrong use of that word. So we need each other. We need them all. And each one brings something really beautiful, and each one needs the other one to round it out. So that five gifting, and I don't want to spend much time there, but the purpose of those five gifts, Jesus lays out very clearly in Ephesians chapter 4 what they together are to accomplish in the church, and that is to bring us into spiritual unity, spiritual health, spiritual maturity. And he says exactly that. This is exactly what they're for. Read it in Ephesians chapter 4. Five leadership gifts working together in unity themselves are to build up the body of Christ. Equip the saints. Okay, equip. We often end with equip and think it means Sunday school seminars and so on. But it's not talking about that. It's talking about spiritual health, spiritual development of the body of Christ. Building up the body until we all, and here's the heart of what we're talking about this morning, until we all come or attain to the unity of the faith. Until we all come into that perfect, healthy unity of the faith, aligned with Christ and aligned with each other, and then God's power can be released through that to the knowledge of the Son of God, to the mature manhood. And then he gives us the measure, and this is one I've read a million times and apply to myself all the time, the measure, the standard of how we're doing in that process, to the measure of Christ and looking at his life. And so the prerequisite for spiritual unity is exactly that. So you have five gifts or leadership gifts building up the body of Christ into spiritual health. And then the body working in spiritual health, all the gifts of the body start to flow together. As Ephesians tells us, one body, each with different activities like the hand, the foot, the eye, the ear, all working in perfect harmony is a powerful body. And Romans 12 outlines seven of those gifts that are in the body. And we don't have time to go through them, but you know them, or you can read them there. All the ministry gifting, or the gifts of the whole body of Christ for the kingdom of God. You and me each have something, and we bring it together in this context. So the five leadership gifts build the church into spiritual unity. And then the gifts in the body can function effectively because we're in unity and God's presence is with you and God's anointing is on you, and what you do bears fruit wherever you go and whatever you do because of that. And then a healthy body in unity, then the gifts of the Spirit can work effectively in health. I haven't seen a lot of examples of the nine gifts of the Spirit working through the body of Christ in a healthy fashion. Probably you've all heard of stories where it's been kind of twisted out of shape, but there's nine wonderful, beautiful gifts of the Spirit that God will work, the Spirit of God will work through our lives, each one of us, according to where we are, what we're doing, what we need, what we're facing. You're facing some challenges in life. You're talking to somebody who you want to help them understand the things of God. The Spirit of God gives you a word of wisdom. It's so beautiful because it just opens up. Or a prophetic word. Or a word of understanding. It's just all those beautiful nine gifts are there for us, all of us. Every one of us. Not just the pastor, not just the preacher, not just the apostle, not just the guy out on the front lines. But for you, and every day, and there's nine of them, and they're beautiful. If the body of Christ is healthy, so he's given five gifts to bring the body into spiritual maturity and unity, and then all the gifts within the body that each one of us has come into effectiveness and power, anointed by God, and then God's powerful gifts are available to us to do his kingdom work. That's the pattern laid out by God for the church. And we could talk about each one of those, but I won't. A healthy body working together, nine gifts of the Spirit. How many times have you needed a gift of the Spirit in the moment? And he's there for that. And as we develop maturity and spiritual unity, those gifts flow. In a healthy way. I've watched them be distorted and used improperly, and they can bring a lot of damage, and people get tired of them and say, you know, just leave those alone because they just confuse. And if they're operated under the flesh, they can do a lot of damage. But under the Spirit and in the Spirit of unity, God uses you and me to bring what's needed into the situation. And I could, again, just so many times over the years and in the last weeks, recognize that's a word of wisdom needed for that moment. That's a word of faith or a miracle that needs. Do you realize what's available to us for doing the work of God? If two or three come together under my name or in alignment, if the leadership is building unity into the body, it has to be in the leadership first, and then it can be built into the body. And then when the body's functioning, the whole church, the community of believers, together in unity, then the power of heaven is released through us. What you bind on earth will be bound. What you open will open, because the power of God is with us. Not to do our will, not to satisfy my curiosity or selfish ambition, but to accomplish his big, powerful purpose. And when I pray for Canada these days, I don't care what's happening in the politics of here or America or anywhere else. I care what is God's purpose and plan. And he says, if we will do what we're to do, through us he can do what he wants to do. And that's our challenge and our blessing and our place to be. So be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So we need to come into spiritual health and spiritual unity. And that's the work of the five ministry gifts that Jesus gave when he went to heaven to build that unity into the whole body. And then the whole body unified and working together, your gift, whatever it is anointed by God. And that's a beautiful thing. If you have felt the anointing of God on your ministry gift or in your activity as you're working for God's kingdom, whatever role, and you feel his anointing in it, there's nothing like that. And it gives you a confidence that you don't have today or you don't have in yourself, I mean. Without that, totally unconfident, in whatever the word is, unconfident, non-confident, not confident. Shaky, even shaky now, but shaky and weak. But with his anointing, oh my, that makes everything change. Like that opens doors that nobody can close. That closes. We need that. We need it here in this church. We need it among all of us and in each of our lives. So we're not just coming to be entertained or to have a nice time together. We do that and it is entertaining and it is fun and we have joy and fellowship and blessing. But to be empowered, to then make God's kingdom go forward. One thing I hear a lot of, again, in the church these days is nothing you can do. It's Jesus has to do it all. No, that's not the Bible. You have a lot to do, and I have a lot to do. And we need to be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace so that we will be used by God internally. And then you go out of here with the anointing of God on your life. If that isn't happening, we're not doing our job. We're not working like a healthy church. But when that is happening, then you go out confident that God is with you. Not just, I need to get back to church so someone can pray for me, because I feel alone in a week through the week, but empowered by the Spirit for you to pray for the people that you come into contact with, where you are, and confidence in that. So we have the five gifts to empower the body gifts to bring us all into unity, and then the Holy Spirit gifts flow through all of us all the time. And I want all nine gifts functioning exactly when we need them in every one of our lives. And then you'll make an impact on this city and this country and around the world. Amen. I want to pray for that this morning. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit in your church. If we will follow you, if we will be eager to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, if we will obey you and walk with you and grow up in our faith and walk as mature and be transformed into the image of Christ, so that your wonderful gifts of the Spirit can flow through us and the gifts you've built into us will bear their fruit in the body and from this church out into this city. And Father, as I stand here, I have a vision for this church together as one, impacting this city, spreading out from this city and impacting this province, spreading out from there across this nation, and from there beyond to the nations. The power of God through this church can accomplish all of that, and I pray it will come to pass, Father, by the power of your name, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and as we align with Christ and with your word, and each of us aligns together in the unity of the Spirit, I pray that you will anoint and empower everyone sitting here today, and all those who will join, and all those who will come. They will feel your presence. They will learn your word, and they will be empowered to live for you and to minister for you. We pray this in Jesus' name, and we thank you for it. Amen. God bless you, and be eager, diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit. Amen.